I wanted to reinforce the fact that work life is actually a body of knowledge. It's a whole new domain within the human resource practice, and it refers to seven particular clusters of human resource practices that have been shown to increase productivity, enhance engagement, and even create better health and wellness outcomes. They're all things that organizations are striving for today.
When we were talking before, I called it work-life stuff, and even the terminology we tend to use around this just doesn't take it real seriously, but there is actual data that ties this stuff, for lack of a better term, makes a difference.
There's a tremendous amount of data, which I don't think is commonly understood. There are over 500 data points in one particular reference volume. If somebody had to have everything about work life in one reference work, which is a book called Leveraging the New Human Capital, which was published, written by a predecessor of mine, a president of Alliance for Work-Life Progress, who happens to be a PhD at Claremont College, Peter Drucker Institute. Enormous amount of research. There's no question that employers partnering with employees to help reduce their work-life conflict creates better outcomes for all stakeholders involved. In fact, it creates shareholder value. It's even been shown on the for-profit side to create 2 and 3 times the stock value of companies that don't do this.
So give us a sense in the federal space. How's the federal government doing at this work-life stuff?
Well, this is pretty fascinating. The federal government has actually, various agencies have been in the work-life business for 35 years. I've seen reports that show that back in the early 1970s, agencies were beginning to implement what we now call flexible work arrangements. And in fact, when Clinton was in power 20 years later, he did some executive memos that reinforced the fact that the evidence and the outcomes were so good that flexible work arrangements weren't made mandatory in federal terms, but he encouraged all agencies to escalate their practices in that domain. So the federal government led the charge for a while, and then there's been a little bit of backtracking and maybe going in some circles, and now it's beginning to pick up again with the new administration.
Why do people step away from this when there is actual data out there that says, hey, people do more work if you institute some of these tools?
The problem with work life is that it bumps into cultural norms that say this is soft stuff, we shouldn't be doing it, federal workers ought to be doing their work, why do they need to be taken care of, they're serving the public, the taxpayer is paying. A lot of misperceptions. It's really not very expensive, but people think it is. There's a whole thing about women, how it's a women's initiative, which is where it started, but now we actually have data that shows that men are feeling more work-life conflict than women. So there's been a lot of trying to catch up with the data, and data has gotten better over the last 10 years. And we've gotten more time ravaged. We're in the middle or coming out of a great recession. People, health and wellness, corporate volunteering, some of the pillars of work life, financial support are becoming much more important now. So there's even more of an emphasis on these programs in employer places today, including the federal government.
So talk a little bit about what are some of the things that agencies are actually doing. What are the things that are actually working out there?
Well, federal government, as well as being early into flexible work arrangements, got into support for dependent care, child care, way early on. Many federal agencies have child care either on-site or even distributed around the world. They support parenting. There another whole category, of course, is flexibility. There's a lot going on in financial support. Actually, the government is a great place to work now. Coming out of this recession, the employment value proposition is better in the federal government than it is now in many segments of private industry. So a lot more focus, this kind of activity. Good benefits and things offered. My point at the testimony was it's not being used in a highly strategic sense with all seven categories of work life linked together and made very clear and communicated to the people who work there so they know they have the safety net.
Tell me what that means, it's not being used in a strategic sense.
There are these categories of work life. What's happening in the federal government now is they're being looked at one program in isolation from another. There's a big emphasis on telework, for example. There is inventorying going on in health and wellness. But there isn't a strategic look. For example, research is now showing that flexible work practices increase better health outcomes. That kind of strategy is not being linked together in the federal sector like it is in private industry.
It seems like flexible work practices almost go hand in glove with a telework program. These things all combine together to create that cohesive, that strategic way of dealing with these issues.
They do. And there's a tendency in the federal government, as there is in many private sector, I don't mean to say the federal government is alone at this, but there's a tendency to look at it in piece parts. We're doing telework here, we're looking at health and wellness there, but we're not linking them together, and that's what I'm talking about, strategy.
You said that the federal government took a couple steps back during a period of time. Is this something that more folks, not only the federal government, but private sector as well, are we doing this more? Is this something that we're actually recognizing? Is this gap between the data that's out there and what was conventional wisdom, are we bridging that gap?
Yes. It's not perfect. Don't let me mislead you, but it's much better. And it's being driven by a whole bunch of things, a whole new generation that thinks about work and where they're going in life differently. We have younger people who, unlike their parents, for example, men we're hearing want to actually be active fathers, and maybe their fathers weren't because they gave their whole life to their work.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of re-examination of values in the workplace, and now we have huge amounts, particularly in the federal government, boomers, people, in fact, the federal government in some ways, the labor force is going to fall off the cliff. There's tens of thousands of people who are approaching retirement also beginning to rethink what their values are. And these boomers who didn't think much about this stuff as they were coming along actually are beginning to coalesce with Gen Y, becoming much more interested in leaving legacy, greenness, you know, what's the point of life? I want to be known for as I leave the workforce. So there's a lot of things going on in the workforce. The recession has certainly slimmed down support. People are just feeling crushed.
It was interesting because I was moderating a panel a couple weeks ago on green issues, and what the audience was talking about over and over, every question was about telework and
yes.
Why can't I do this?
Exactly. And you're reminding me another whole factor is technology.
Yeah.
We can now do most work, obviously not all jobs. You have to be, you know, at a store if you're working in a retail store. But something like 80% of our jobs now are service jobs, and certainly a lot of government jobs are like that. You can be working from anywhere, a parent, if you're working with a computer and a phone. So the only reason we're still thinking about work as a place you go to instead of a thing you do are these cultural norms and this old way of thinking. It's the snake skin that we're shedding, and the federal government is in that middle of transition too.
I think the perception is that that's often bosses saying, I need to see people. But sometimes the employees, they like the water cooler. There's a lot of pieces here.
There are a lot of pieces, and that's why not, you know, setting arbitrary numbers of people or percentage of the workforce to telework can be a bit of a red herring, because a lot of people are actually not good candidates for telework. They hate sitting in their own home doing work, either because of their own organizational skills, they get lonely. The water cooler is important, so new management is all about knowing when to bring people together and when they should be dispersed. And this requires new competencies. So managers, yes, they get antsy, and in the face of lack of training and education about this, this doesn't happen automatically. That's why there's a whole work-life profession, a cadre of professionals who can really help smooth these transitions, and has been doing it through all sectors for 20 years.
Conventional wisdom is that this is a generational thing. Is that necessarily true? Because you said the baby boomers are also, they're at a place where they're not really interested in coming to work every single day. No. They want to be able to piece it into their lives.
I think we tend to overemphasize one generation driving this. It turns out that flexibility and work-life conflict follows everybody who works. Everybody is in this. It is true that the new generation seems to be much more adept. They're what we call digital natives. They've grown up with this technology, so they're much better at it. They're more adept at it. So they're probably going to drive this faster, but we can't wait for a whole generation to come in the workforce and change it. America has a lot of competitive pressures going on. We're losing our edge in innovation. We can't afford to wait for a generation to grow up and invade us. We have to move. This is important to our national security. That's why this particular committee was holding this hearing.
So as you go out and you're talking to federal agencies, what do you recommend? Are there simple steps that they can do to at least get thinking in this way?
The great news is I don't know of one agency that hasn't got all the pieces of the portfolio. Somewhere they're distributed. It's a question of pulling it together, seeing it as strategic, working it into the whole mission of the agency, and communicating to employees what a safety net they have and what a great place the federal government is to work.